Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Atlanta Business Radio, and this is one of my favorite episodes we do. It's a Trusted Advisors episode, and this episode is focusing on the group Vistage, and it's brought to you by Business Radio X and our good friend Soini Koch, who is the president with Anona Enterprises. Welcome, Soini.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
So you've been kind of going out of your way to bring in trusted advisors over the last few months. And why is the category of trusted advisors so important to you?
For two reasons. First, as a service professional, we've talked about this a couple of times, that trust is really the new currency. With the proliferation of social media, it's really important that we have relationships that you can really scratch the surface and there's really substance there.
Right.
And as a service professional, we now have to be able to trade on those relationships to an even greater extent than we had to before. And so those trusted advisory relationships form the cornerstone of most of our careers as a professional service person.
And it helps when you're working with your clients, for you to have resources at your disposal makes you that much more valuable to your clients, right?
That's the second reason. Absolutely. So one of the things that I know fosters trust with my clients is when I can say very clearly what I can do and what I'm good at and what I can't do and I'm not good at. And for the things that I'm not good at, it's really important to have other resources that can fill that gap, because I want to continue to be the person that my clients come to for anything. And so if I can't do it, I want to make sure that I can make sure that that need gets filled.
And it demonstrates to your client that you're really caring about that client, and it's not about you trying to sell them more stuff.
Exactly.
And then that kind of elevates you from just a vendor to now a trusted advisor.
Absolutely.
And today you brought with you some of your friends from Vistage.
Exactly. Wonderful.
And you want to introduce?
Yeah, I would love to introduce Linda Gabbard, who is the best practice chair for Vistage in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And Larry Kilstadius, who is the regional, what's your official title?
Executive.
Regional executive for Vistage in the Southeast region. And then Nat, who is with us as well, who is one of a quintessential example of a Vistage member who has provided value both inside his group and then for members over the long term.
So now, Larry, since you're kind of at the top of the pyramid in terms of Vistage, can you share a little bit about Vistage and educate our listeners on kind of mission and purpose?
Well, first of all, I hope that our chairs didn't hear you say I was top of the pyramid. I'm really the support at the bottom of the pyramid. The chairs are at the top of the pyramid. Well, the members are really the top. In essence, what we provide is a place for executives to go to be able to share their ideas, talk about their challenges, talk about their opportunities in a very trusted, non-judgmental, free environment where no one has a vested interest in their outcome other than they hope that they succeed. Each member wants the other member to succeed. And what's complementary about this, so the things that Soini does, we complement the other players in their organization and help keep true to what their vision and strategy is.
So now, if you're a business owner, is this open to any business owner, or you have to be of a certain size?
Well, we do have a bottom level of size, and that's about $800,000 in revenue per year. If you look at the bell curve of Vistage, we really bell curve out from $1 million to about $200 million, with some outliers that are bigger, but really it's the $1 million to $200 million space that probably resonates as far as Vistage membership.
And what is the pain that owner is feeling, that they're like, you know what, I think I'm going to have to get some help from some people that aren't people I know very well, right? You're going into a group of, are they strangers a lot of times?
Well, that's interesting. So it does start off as strangers. But what you find is, so here's the need we're providing, that loneliness. So if you're a business owner, you're a CEO, and you're making decisions that you know affect people's lives and affect your vision for what you're trying to grow as a company, who do you go to that doesn't have a horse in that race, that doesn't have a vested interest in your decision? you know, a consultant, a lawyer, you know, your CPA, they all have a little bit of stake in your game. This is a trusted environment where everybody just wants to help you. And what happens is you see bonding go very quickly from day one to members who, I mean, we have members who have been 20 years Vistage members, and they bond and they bond and they bond and they get deeper with their peer group.
Well, one question I would love to have you guys answer is, Linda, can you walk us through what a typical Vistage meeting is like?
Is there a typical Vistage meeting?
There's hardly ever a typical Vistage meeting. But we use a combination of educational resources through, we have a fabulous speaker network. And so part of the meeting is a workshop that's led by a subject matter expert. This could be on any number of topics that you can possibly imagine, and Matt can probably fill in some color on some of those that are particularly memorable. So that's probably 30% of the total meeting time, or the total time over the course of a year would be that. The balance of the meeting is content that's generated by the members. So the members bring the opportunities and challenges and decisions that are in front of them for the questioning and counsel of the other members in the group.
And is that done in a formal way or is that informal?
We do have a process. The organization is 50 years old, so we've learned this over a long period of time. It's based on a lot of questioning. Very direct questioning because of the trust that will, you know, form in the group. So questions that maybe wouldn't be asked in a less trustful environment.
Like what's an example?
Well, you know, the typical example we use a lot is if somebody's maybe churned through three or four sales managers and they come into the group and they're like, what's the matter? There's not good people out there. Someone might ask a question of what's the common denominator? You know, the common denominator is you. I mean, that's a simple example, but it gives, you know, the idea of that. But also the members know each other very well. They know each other's values. They know each other's goals. They know each other's blind spots and maybe their own blind spots because of being in the group. So they're able to probe around all of those areas. And frequently what happens is that the member finds their way to their own answer.
So the group isn't necessarily there to answer the question or solve the problem. They're just as a sounding board or maybe give them different options or things that have worked for with them, and then the individual decides what's the best course of action for themselves.
Right. One of our buzzwords is that Vistage is the place to have your answers questioned. You know, so we do give feedback if someone like Nat, who has an expertise in all areas of finance and, you know, financial services, and plus was the CEO for a long time of a bank. So he might say, from my experience, this is something when I faced that challenge, this was how I dealt with it. But it's always the member's job who's brought the topic to decide what of all of this they want to listen to and actually act on.
Now, is there a point person for the group? Is there a Vistage leader of some kind, or is this just a loosely held group of CEOs?
Right. Should I take it? So there is the chair, which
chair,
is me.
That's you.
Yeah, is the leader of the group. So we have the responsibility to bring new members into the group and keep the group full. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we want to get as much diversity from demographic and industries and viewpoints as we can because we think that creates the most value, and then we facilitate the meetings, and we also facilitate the process. So part of what we're doing is always teaching the group to continually improve as a group.
Now, Nat, tell us from the perspective of a member. We've gotten, you know, Larry's perspective as an executive and Linda's perspective as a chair. Now, sitting in your seat as somebody who has been receiving Vistage, tell us a little bit about your experience and why you continue to find value out of Vistage.
I've had sort of the full gamut of the Vistage experience because I've been a member now, gone on 10 years. And when we started, I was the CEO of the largest company in the group, a public company, lots of shareholders, had a great board, a great executive team.
What was the company?
It was CNB Holdings, which owned a couple banks here in town.
Okay.
And but I still needed some more guidance, and I needed some C-level people I could talk to about my own misgivings that I had at times that I really didn't feel comfortable sharing with my board or maybe my fellow employees. Now I find myself head of the smallest company in the group.
What happened?
Some people from Canada were nice enough to come around and offer us way too much money for our bank right before the banking debacle, and I felt compelled to take the money. And
they twisted your arm.
They twisted my arm, and my shareholders are delighted with it all. But now I've got the smallest firm in the group. So I've seen it from a situation where you might imagine selling someone like me, the head of a public company, would be a hard sell for Vistage. It wasn't at all. And then when our company sold, you would think that I might just pack up and leave Vistage. Not at all. I have some of my best friends in Vistage, certainly people that I can talk to about business or personal things, and not thinking for a second I'm going to be judged for my conversations with them. So, again, I'm thankful to have Vistage in my life. It'd be very easy for me to walk away from it, but I'm not doing it. Enjoy it.
Can you give a real specific example of a time when Vistage delivered some real value for you throughout all that?
Right after we sold out the bank, I put a group together to possibly purchase another financial institution. And during the course of that, I kept our group up to speed. And then at some point, we looked at 23 banks. And most of them, we believed, were going to fail. But at some point, my group collectively raised their hands and they said, "Are you sure this is the shareholder value concept that you believed it was to start with?"
This is your Vistage group.
My Vistage group. And it caused me such pause. I went back and reflected, and we decided to disband our group to purchase a bank. So, and I do believe that was the right thing to do, as I look back now. But most of my friends outside of Vistage would have had a hard time asking me that question, because they know how determined I am when I get on a project.
Would you say that most CEOs are fairly hard-headed?
Yes.
And so this, one of the things that sounds like you got from your group is people who could crack through that get through that, put a little chink in your armor.
And they're not intimidated. We're not intimidated by each other, the fact that we're CEOs. Yes.
So interestingly, for people listening to this, you heard some buzzwords of Vistage, our semantics, our own little secret language. And one of those secret words is carefrontation. So that's what Nat is referring to, is that they'll confront you, but they'll do it in a caring way. And that's, again, centered around trust.
Yeah. Now, can you share a little bit about how, who identifies that a certain group is a good fit for a given CEO? Linda, you want to?
Yeah, so there's a number of paths to entry into Vistage. So most frequently what happens is someone will either meet a chair or a member will make a nomination and recommend a group or a chair. So it might be their own group, or it might be another group or chair that they know. Mm-hmm. And so that would tend to be the first avenue. There's also people who will maybe go directly to Vistage and ask for, information from Vistage.
Oh, like just go like to the website or
and
something?
And then there's people in the headquarters who would also help somebody find a match to a chair in a group. So we do try to make sure that people come into a place, into a group where there's going to be a good fit.
Mm-hmm. How do you define good fit?
Well, so I have an excellent story from just last night. I got a phone call from a woman out in California, Hollywood, California, who is a Vistage member. And she said, "Gee, I understand, Larry, you're the guy in the Southeast. I have a friend in Raleigh, North Carolina, that I'd like to recommend to Vistage." And this is a new CEO of a bigger company. I think the company is $450 million, public company. And so I said, "Tell me more." And she explained to me what he was like and what he was looking for. From that, I could filter out there were only two possible chairs that actually met his needs in Raleigh. I talked to both chairs this morning. And I can happily say that as of about noon today, a chair and that candidate were speaking. And that's a pretty typical way we sort through.
So now, Linda, you want to say something about what Nan was saying?
Oh, well, he was taught when he was talking about this transition and the questions that people asked him about the, you right. know, the whether this was the right thing for him. I remember that very specifically. But to what you were asking earlier, no one in the group ever would have said, you know, you should stop. It was always just, this is what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot. We're seeing you look at a lot of banks. Maybe if you really were committed to this fully, you would have found one already. Maybe the fact that you're not is telling you something.
Right.
And so that's the kind of the difference between a more of a consultative approach and what we really do.
So now, as a chair, is your role to facilitate these? That's the main role, is to like find the speakers and facilitate the meetings?
Well, there's several roles of the chair. So keeping the group full right. is one.
And what is
very
full?
Very important one. Full is 16 to 18.
Oh, wow.
12 to 16 is considered a standard-sized group, and 16 to 18 is full,
right.
topped out. And then we do facilitate the meetings. So we have our process. There's a component of being a chair that's teaching the members how we actually talk about business topics, the Socratic approach that we use, the way to ask questions that aren't just information gathering, but more questions that will raise awareness mm-hmm. For the member whose issue it is. And what's nice about that is that many of the members take that approach back into their own companies because
right.
it works. And so there's a multiplier effect that happens from that. So that there's the facilitation role, but then there's the leading and teaching role that goes along with that. And then we do, Vistage is a wonderful partner, and they do most of the logistics around the speakers, but we do, you know, select the speakers that we want to hear from the group based on what the needs of the particular members
right.
are within the group.
And then is there, is this a coaching? Like, are you coaching individually?
We also do, so the meeting is once a month.
Right. For how many hours?
For a full day.
Oh, it's a full day
meeting every month. And then there's also a 90-minute to 2-hour one-on-one coaching session.
With the chair and the member?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe in, you could maybe rein in on this, and actually Larry was a member too, so you could say too, but I believe that part of the secret sauce of Vistage is this rhythm that we have mm-hmm. of one-to-one meeting, because we close the loop from the last meeting in the one-to-one, and we're preparing for the next meeting
right.
in the one-to-one. And it's also the time to focus on each individual member in terms of what their long-term objectives and vision for their company and vision for themselves, and make sure that we're really tracking to that vision.
Now, Nat, what was most important to you? What's most beneficial, the one-to-ones or the group?
They're almost not comparable. When I'm with the group, it's a different level of input I'm receiving. Linda is my personal coach as well as my business coach in the one-to-ones. Holds me very accountable, so I need to be careful what I promise to do, because she's going to write it down and ask me next month.
She writes things down. That's a good yes. quality of
yes.
a coach, right?
Yes, and I try to manage the process, too, by providing her an agenda every month of things mm-hmm. I'd like to talk to so we stay on task. So it's hard to compare the two. They're so different, the one-to-ones versus the group, and both are valuable to me.
And in the group setting, do you ever meet with group members outside of Vistage?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Very often. And one thing that we've not said is we try to keep someone from different industries. We don't have competitors within a group.
Uh-huh.
But it is not unusual at all for one of my group members to call me up and want to have lunch or dinner and talk about something that I might have a little more expertise in, just one-on-one, and knowing that it's in the vault when we speak to each other.
Now, is that more rewarding in some ways, being kind of helping the other people in the group? Like, or is it? It seems like there's a lot of back and forth in this.
There is, and for me, as my role changed within the group, going from the head of a public company to a small consulting group, I find I'm getting so much satisfaction by helping my fellow members. And I have certain skills that no one else in the group has, and they show their appreciation to me by helping me when I've got problems. I went through a really bad personal crisis a few years ago with illness in my family. And when I was at the hospital, my Vistage group made sure my kids were fed.
Wow. Is that unusual, Larry, to have that type of depth in relationships in Vistage, or is that just the way Vistage works?
It really is just how Vistage works, and it's an interesting, deep culture. Vistage members care about Vistage members. They really know each other on such a deep level, you almost can't look the other way. It's just a giving culture. And the longer you're a member, the more you've received. And interestingly enough, then you start so much giving, and giving makes you even feel better about what's going on. So it's definitely built into the culture.
Now, one question I have is, do you think that the qualitative part of Vistage, the relationships, this personal growth, do you think that that's more important, or do you think the empirical results that people produce, which do you think tends to sell people more?
So this is an interesting comment. I'm going to throw it over to Linda after I give my quick response here, because I'm going to give you sort of a quick, you know, buzzword response. You join for business reasons, you stay for personal reasons. And what happens is we have empirical evidence that Vistage members grow at a faster rate and they're more profitable than their peer groups that don't. That's a hook to join, because I'm a business leader and I need to have an ROI on my membership. Wow, do I start changing after about 2 years into being Vistage? It's all about me growing as a person. And Linda, you care to comment?
I mean, I would actually throw it over to Nat, but I would say the same thing. There is definitely a payback to the investment, both of money and time that people put into Vistage, in terms of what they see in results in their business. And that's true on a financial aspect. And then it's also true on their own peace of mind, and, you know, less busyness as they become a stronger leader and are working more impactfully through their teams. So that is absolutely there and always is there. For myself and in my groups, it's important to me that everybody is getting that kind of benefit. And the personal growth aspect comes along with that. And, you know, for every person, maybe the business side is going faster at some pace and then the personal catches up, or the personal goes faster and then the business comes up. I mean, you know, Nat is somebody who's been through both sides of that in many ways. And so to me, it's an and.
Mm-hmm. Nat, which do you think is more important, the empirical results or the quality of life improvement?
Well, early on, I could find about a 10 to 20 times gain on the dollars my company spent for me to be in Vistage. Multiplier. The time was pretty important to my company too, because I'm taking one full work day out of a month to be out of pocket. So I think, like Larry said, early on, it's more of the empirical dollars and cents. As time goes by, you as a person begin to have personal gains, such that they might not be as measurable in dollars and cents, but you are adding to the shareholder value of your company by the improvement in you as an individual and as a leader.
Can you give an example of what some of those personal gains might look like?
Well, I can give you some of my own personal gains I've made. I've worked very hard to be more empathetic toward my fellow employees. And early on when I was in Vistage, I was a little bit harsh on my fellow members. And it's helped me in my personal life, too. And for someone like me, that's a hard thing to change, especially, you know, now that I'm not a kid anymore. But it certainly has made a difference in my life.
So how would people in Vistage address that issue if they thought you were harsh with people? I mean, because that seems like a tough one.
They called me names.
Did they call you, like, in the middle of the meeting? They're like, hey, dude, you're that seems a little rough there. Is it done like that, or they pull you aside?
Usually it's done in fun. I earned the nickname Dr. Evil in the group, and at one meeting they because they knew I was working on my empathy, they brought me two different golf caps. One was white and said Mr. Empathy, and the other was black and said Dr. Evil.
Right.
So they had me switching caps as I was making comments throughout the meeting.
And okay, so at first, like, that's kidding around, and but at some point you're like, you know, maybe I got to look into this.
Yes.
That this isn't fun and games. There's some element of truth here. Go ahead.
It's the carefrontation word that Larry said earlier. We try to provide direct feedback and counsel that's going to help each individual member in a way that's caring and supportive.
In a way that they can hear it.
Yeah.
There's a term we use, another Visage term, and that's called, are you open to an observation? And that's the lead to say, I'm about to tell you something that's tough love.
And does that happen at every meeting, something like that's going to happen?
I would say almost every meeting, multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe not every single meeting. It just depends on the level of the, you know, at some level, yes. And at some level, I always tell the members, every meeting you're going to hit a single, just hit a single every meeting. Take something away from the meeting to improve your business and improve yourself.
Right.
And every now and then, you're going to get a double, triple, and a home run. And over the course of a membership, this adds up to be a lot.
Now, Larry, you mentioned that early on people are deciding to join Vistage because they think it's going to help their business in some manner, right? Financially,
correct.
There'll be some ROI. Do some people not join because they don't want to hear these truths or this tough love?
So it's interesting. And when I tell new chairs building their practice and they're out talking to CEOs about being a member of their group, I tell them there's only one true objection, and that is time. It is really hard for CEOs to step out of the whirlwind, take their cape off, and take a day where they're going to think strategically, take a breath, and really work on themselves. And I think that scares people a little bit. Working on yourself is looking into the abyss a little bit. You know, it's hard work. What we find is the people that do it, once they've been a member for a year, you hear from every single person three truths. And number one is, boy, have I learned how to listen. Because experientially, they are forced to listen in the meeting. Second, I ask way better questions than I used to, because guess what? I was listening to the people asking me questions. Third, my work-life balance is so much better because I ask better questions and I actually listen to the answers. My team and I are operating at just a higher level. So to get to the point of your question, if you can help a CEO get past the idea that my time constraint can be fixed, then you can bring them on board. But that's a scary abyss.
Now, how do you get them through that, Linda?
Well, there's a couple things that I find that in addition to the lonely at the top syndrome that will draw people to Visage. And one of them is going on right now. I mean, we're kind of at the bottom of a growth curve. And so a lot of these businesses, when they're growing very fast, they either just start to outgrow the capacity of the people that are in the business themselves, sometimes of the CEO themselves, or they may find themselves kind of bumping up against their own capacity. They can see to grow faster, but they're not. So they start looking around for another resource. And lots of times when they hear about the things that Visage can provide, the speakers, the educational resource is a big piece of it, but more the idea of being in a room with 16 other people who have walked in their shoes and know exactly what they're going through and can listen in the completely unbiased way and ask questions and provide counsel that's not tainted by any other agenda except, you know, that person's own success. That is something that is very appealing when they, especially if they, when they start to realize how, you know, powerful and impactful it can be.
And then an important consideration in this is that, like Nat was saying earlier, they're not competitors in the room, but this isn't it's not an appropriate place to sell your other CEO something either, right? Isn't that one of the, is that an unspoken rule or is that a real rule?
That's actually a real rule. Of course it happens that members end up doing business with other members in the group.
But it's not like a chamber meeting where you're trying to...
No.
sell somebody something.
No,
right?
And really, we have, there's several service providers that are in our group that are, you know, we have a network services provider, for example, in our group who several of the members over time have become his client.
Right.
But he didn't join the group to develop his business. He joined the group to develop himself as a leader.
Right.
And because the members know him and trust him,
right,
the thing evolves as it does. But, you know, actually, as chairs, we discourage it rather than encourage it because right. we want to protect
the integrity
the
of group.
Free. Right.
Because
exactly.
it can't, like, I can't be thinking, well, you're just saying that because you're trying to sell me yeah. something in 6 months.
Right. So it's not at all a leads kind of generating right. organization.
And then is that something that's, Nat, when you were thinking of joining, was that, you didn't care about that. You were with a very large company, so this selling to the other members didn't really cross your mind in this equation when you were deciding to join?
No. I was looking for that advisory, mm-hmm. That trusted advisory arm for my life. And now, as it happened, over time, a few of our members did move to our bank. And even today, a few of our members use my consulting mm-hmm. service. But, I mean, how many of your trusted vendors can you meet with once a month and know all their deep, dark secrets? I mean, very few of us have vendors that we know that well.
Sure.
I want to tell a specific story about how that came out, if I can. And that was going into the recession, really starting already in 2006, the Vistage economists were starting to say we're going to have a bad recession, and
right.
in Atlanta there was kind of a like not here, and they were saying yes here, and Nat with his knowledge of the banking industry was predicting what did ultimately happen in the banking community, and he really helped us put together a program where every member of our group who was credit line dependent had a plan A, plan B, and plan C mm-hmm. about either staying with their existing bank, being able to attract an alternative bank, or what would happen if they weren't able to find funding.
Right.
And all of our members were prepared for that and practiced in front of the group. And as a result of that, every member not only had financing, they were able to choose from multiple you know, banks going into the recession at a time when nobody was getting funding. So this was a specific example of taking an expertise that was in the group and
right.
really putting it to work for the power of the members in the group.
Now, was that happening around the country, Larry? Do you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is, again, back to the whole idea of diversity within the group and expertise around the group.
Yeah. The chairs, we stand on each other's shoulders. There's 400 chairs around the country. We have a chair group here, so the chairs here all meet together and take mm-hmm. our own medicine. And also around the country, we're in communication with each other. So, again, heading into the recession, there were, you know, on the chair net, there was just lots of conversations about how do we prepare our members for what's coming? What should we do in our groups? How can we help make sure
because you're getting best practices from everybody
exactly,
around the country.
All
and then
around
you
the country. This is something we're doing in our group, and other people might want to share that and try that same thing in, you know, in their groups.
Now, you mentioned that this is Vistage around the globe or just America?
It's in 15 countries around the world.
So now, as a member of Vistage, do you have access to that network as well? So, like, if Nat wanted, if he was still in banking and wanted to open a branch in Wichita, Kansas, he can reach out to somebody? Does it work like that as well, or is that, again, off limits?
It absolutely works like that. There's a community. We have a My Vistage. It's sort of a LinkedIn on steroids for Vistage. And you can go on that link. And here's what's great about Vistage. Members help members. And almost to an exaggeration, if you will, because they want each other to be successful. So if you're in Atlanta and you want to open up a business in Wichita, Kansas, you go on the web and you say, who can help me with a business in Wichita, Kansas? And you will get tons of responses, thoughtful responses, really fast.
Yeah. You know, it means something to be a Vistage member. So I'm passionate about this, so forgive me, but I'll just say it. It's not everybody who's going to invest a day a month and the financial fee
right.
and to the point that you made, show up and put their stuff in front of a group of their peers and get asked a lot of really hard questions. Not everybody does that. So Vistage members know this. So they respect other Vistage members, and they want to help each other. But also, there's many, many times when people will say, I need a new X network service provider, for example.
Right.
And I'd really like to work with a Vistage member who's out there, you know. Who's
you know anybody, right.
For the exact reason that we're talking about.
One question I have for you is around this, you know, putting yourself out there concept. How important do you think is it is beyond Vistage, or just in general for entrepreneurs, business owners, CEOs, founders, to really look at that introspective and have that personal growth and development as a value? Do you actually see the difference?
Nat, you were supposed to have all these answers.
Yeah. Well, do you want to take that one, or should I take it?
Why don't you start it, and I'll finish it.
Okay. So hardly anybody comes into the room and says, I want to really open up and tell about everything that's not working with my company.
This is a weakness of mine. I just want to get it off my chest.
I'm dying to tell 16 people right. who I respect, you know, that. So it's a little bit the role of the chair to create an environment. It's not a little bit of role of the chair. It's completely the role of the chair. But once you create the environment, then the members know it and protect it and add in it. To create an environment that is safe and challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is something that we work very hard on, both in our, you know, training of chairs, sourcing of chairs, selecting chairs, and training of chairs, to make sure that culture is set within the groups, because it's critical to having a transformation, a group where people are focused on transformation, as opposed to what we envisage call a seminar club, which is a bunch of people getting together to hear a speaker and kind of talk about what's going on the
surface.
Like
at a superficial level.
And pat each other on the back.
Say, great job, and see you next month.
Right.
And how has being a chair changed you?
I'm a completely different person, I think, than when I started as a chair. I'm coming up on 10 years.
Did you have those black and white hats that
now? Yeah. Probably much more than I did now. I'm much more versed in the land of gray. I actually, most of my background was in corporate world, so I didn't really have a clue about the power of the entrepreneurial community. And I have so much respect for these members and what they're doing and how they build their companies and how much they care for their employees and their businesses and what they're doing. So that piece of it has been a big piece of growth. You know, I grew up in the South. I had years of charm school. So looking somebody in the eye and asking them a very uncomfortable question was something that wasn't that easy for me to start, but
practice,
I think I've gotten pretty good at it.
Did you practice that in front of a mirror?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Now, do you find that the Vistage members philosophically tend to be aligned? Like, are they servant leaders? Are they a certain type of person that kind of gravitates?
So that's a really interesting question. And what I use as an analogy, when I'm talking to someone thinking about joining Vistage, and here's the analogy I use, and it gets to this exact thing. What I tell them is, you're already very good. Do you want to be great? And I give them the example of who's the greatest basketball player in the world, LeBron James. Every year, LeBron leaves the season and tells the reporters, he does this all the time, I'm going to go work on X, some part of his game that isn't perfect. And he'll work and work and work. He's known as the hardest worker there is. You know, he lost a bunch of weight this year. Are you that guy? Are you that lady who wants to be the best you and work on yourself? And that's what we're going to bring. And what happens is, we have another term, green and growing. And what you'll find is this resonates with those entrepreneurs. The ones that really do visualize greatness, they grab this. Now, interestingly enough, some people say they aspire to it, but the chair really brings it out, because when they get in the actual meetings, they go, oh, this is hard. And I think I'm going to be quiet and not put myself out there. And that's where the chairs are so expert at getting them to come out and make them better them. Nat, what do you think?
Well, I'd add to that as time goes by, each of us as members realize that our own bar can be raised much higher than we ever believed before Vistage. And as time goes by in our experience in Vistage, you almost get to the point where you believe you can do almost anything because you've got a group around you that's going to help you. So I would say that the self-definition of me, Nat Paget, before I joined the group and the person that I am today has changed dramatically because of my experience in Vistage.
Now, can you share maybe when that light bulb went off? Like, you went into Vistage, but when the early days, you probably had a certain picture of what it is or what it could be, and then at some point it turned into the way that it really is, and you saw it maybe slightly differently.
I remember about 9 months into Vistage when we had a very difficult merger going on in the financial institution I was running. And there were times that I started to doubt my own abilities. And several of the members were very good to come to me at coffee breaks or at lunch during our meeting or even call me later on and say, you know, you're doing a great thing here. You can do it. Have confidence in yourself. Believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they didn't have there was no financial gain for them to
right.
say this. It was at that point that I think I came to the realization that some of my best friends were in the room.
And they're kind of watching my back, and they're helping me. They know I'm going through a tough time, and they're really trying to watch my back to make sure I get through this.
Yes.
What would you say is the biggest challenge facing the small, medium-sized business market that you guys see? Because I think Vistage is probably the largest organization of small, medium-sized business owners that I know in the country. So what are you seeing?
So I'll take this one to start, and I'm actually going to throw it over to Nat and Linda and get their opinions. What we see from a broadband corporate path, when we talk about the state of culture of Vistage membership, it is, do we keep financing available? Do we keep regulations from being overburdensome to those that want to start businesses? Right now, and you hear these quotes all the time of people say, oh, if I had to start my business now, as opposed to 20 years ago, I probably couldn't do it because of the way regulations are. So, you know, it's the whole idea of keeping the runway clear, finances, and not over-regulating.
So I would say it's really changed over the last several years. You know, 5 years ago, everyone was just kind of trying to survive
sure.
and hold on. Now, really, all of our members are growing, and some are starting to really have the record months again and again. So
right.
it's starting to be, how do I make sure that I have a team that's poised for growth? How do I make sure the company is poised for growth? Do I have the financial structure that's poised for growth? When do I sell? If I sell, when do I sell? If this run rate is going to last for a couple of years, which is, you know, a few years, which is what the economists are predicting, how do I make sure that I take full advantage of that? Those are some of the things that are, you know, on a just the basic of taking care of the businesses that people are looking at.
And I'd like to add to that, that every company in our group survived the Great Recession. And in 2013, we're back to pre-recession revenue levels.
Wow. Now, do you ever deal with the kind of the challenge of the generations? Like, does Vistage have millennial members and boomer members? Like, that's part of the diversity?
Yeah.
So I'm going to do the headline on it, and I'm going to actually pass it back over to Linda again. So we are a high-touch experience in a low-touch world. And I personally believe the younger generation thirsts for it because they just don't have it in anything else they do. It's getting them to see it that's hard. Linda?
Yeah, the youngest member that I have right now in my group is in their early 40s, and I'm about to add somebody who's in their late 30s, so I'm excited about that. The broad diversity is really great. It's really nice to have people who are earlier in a stage of their career, but also, you know, more technology savvy, more into the social media right. and things like that. And then that gets balanced out by all of us who've been around for a long time and are, you know, we have our own set of wisdom that comes to the table. So Vistage as a whole, of course, would like to, you know, we want to attract as many people as we can, and attracting younger members is something that, in, you know, in the corporation in general,
we would really
like to see more of that.
So how do you go about doing that?
Well, it's difficult because you think about it. First of all, who can be a member of Vistage? You have to be a business owner or a CEO. And if you look at the demographics of business owners and CEOs in America, they skew clearly in the 45 to 55, you know, age demographic. So where do you go find the young starters? Where do you go find the people that are really just getting their feet underneath them? First of all, it's a smaller set of people, but it's growing because one great thing about millennials, they think like entrepreneurs. They don't have this, I'm going to go work for a big corporation for 30 years mentality anymore. And also, they're really big on service. So the values of what Vistage brings resonates with them.
Now, regarding services, the group is a business group, but do you spend time talking about nonprofits, charity, how to give back to the community? Is that an element of a Vistage meeting?
Well, it's pretty common for the groups to have a not-for-profit member. So there's several.
Oh, that's one of the
there's
CEOs?
Several not-for-profit companies that are actually members, Vistage members. Mm-hmm. And some groups will do kind of group,
like a cause,
like a group cause right. that they might decide to raise, or particularly if a member has a particular cause,
right?
That lots of times the groups will support that. We have an example of that is that there's a member here in Atlanta who's active with the Distinguished Clowns, which is for the Children's Health Care of Atlanta. They mm-hmm. participate in the Clown Parade. So there's something like 100 Distinguished Clowns, and 70 of those are Vistage members. Yeah, so he's brought in most of his group. You right. know, his chair is supporting it, so most of them and a few scattered people from other groups are participating in it too more that's, every year.
That's a good yeah. trivia question for Vistage.
Yeah.
How many clowns?
How many clowns? How many clowns does it take to make a Vistage group?
and how many of them are clowns or just people dressed up as clowns?
So now, Larry, what's next for you? How do you continue to, you know, grow Vistage in your region?
Well, you know, the good news is, even though we're the world's largest CEO organization, we're still market share small. I mean, we still have a lot of market penetration. If you look in the Southeast and the major cities, we're, you know, not over 5% in any of the major cities.
So when you're saying 5%, there's...
The CEOs that would qualify to be Vistage. So we're very good at sort of filtering that out. And I'll give you, like, you know, just an overall example. In Atlanta... for a CE member, we have somewhere between 10,000 and 11,000 possible members in the city of Atlanta, the way we filter members.
Right.
And we have about 500-ish members. So we have a lot of runway in the city of Atlanta and you know, other cities like Nashville and Birmingham. There's a lot of runway.
And then is that, I guess, in some ways that's a good thing for Vistage, there's a lot of runway, but in some ways it's kind of sad, right, that there's 95% of the CEOs are out there battling by themselves?
So I'll take the glass half full on that. Our growth rate is really good. And, you know, Vistage isn't for everyone. And everyone's not for Vistage. And that's a true statement. And we really live that culture. We have people go to selection interviews and to coin Nat's clown phase. Mm-hmm. You know, what Linda as a chair or any other chair has to do when they're vetting someone for their group is how will they fit in to the patchwork of my group? How will they blend with the culture? Because every group has a culture. Do they fit the culture of my group? And next, you know, and this is very personal for a chair, do I want to spend 90 minutes to 2 hours with this person every single month alone?
So sometimes you're telling people thanks, but, you know, maybe there's another group that's a better fit for you?
Absolutely.
Now, what would you say the awareness of Vistage is amongst those 10,000?
Getting better and better. I think over the last 3 years, we've seen our social media awareness. We're all over LinkedIn now. We're on the right places and Twitter and all those things. And so the membership awareness, we're also sponsoring more things in the city. We're spending more marketing dollars to get our brand out there. So I think it's actually spiking quite nicely. We're still a little bit of a best kept secret, but not so much anymore.
Right.
And then how much for you as a chair, do the leads come in mainly through your own efforts, or is it mainly through the Vistage, because Vistage is worldwide?
It's a combination. It's sort of a combination of referrals that come in either through my members, who, of course, are having a good experience and like to bring other people that they might know into the group.
Mm-hmm.
Other chairs. Larry told that story earlier.
Right.
When we were talking, someone might call me up from Chicago, for example, and say, I've got somebody I think they'd be, you know, good for you or good for your group, or if not you, can you help
direct
find
the right it? Match.
So that happens. And then sometimes people will come in through, you know, through Vistage itself. The groups, I want to say, too, is that there's a ramp-up period when a new group starts. So you generally start with 8 members and build up over a period to a full
group of 16.
So you
have to, like, slowly acquire 8 members before you can hit go?
Right, before you actually start the group. And that's because that's sort of the baseline of value delivery.
A one-person group.
Right, exactly. So that's the baseline of that. And then it takes some time for the group to build up. But once it's stable, like our group is, people leave if they completely retire.
Right.
Or like we had one guy who was the North American president of a larger European company, and he took a different role. But now his successor. Took his spot in the group. So what happens is a couple people go out and a couple people go in every year. So the group is very stable. And that's part of what adds to the condition of trust and the culture in the group.
Now, Nat, when you're talking to other CEOs that aren't a member of Vistage, do you say, hey, you should really consider Vistage? Or is this kind of on a case-by-case basis that you bring up Vistage?
If the conversation is around guidance, how they'd like more guidance or education, I wholeheartedly recommend Vistage to them. And it's like Larry said, it's not for everyone. If there's someone out there that has an ego bigger than life, they probably won't fit that well in Vistage. But for the most part, if it's a question of guidance, or they would like to have more of an independent board that they themselves don't have, I certainly do recommend Vistage to them.
Yeah. Lots of times a CEO will come up against something. This is what we were talking about earlier. Either they're lonely at the top, or maybe they're not growing as fast as they think they would, or something is going on in their industry, and they sort of start to say, I could use some additional resource or outside perspective. And they'll start asking around or looking around online or on the web, or they'll, you know, reach out to colleagues and people
that they trust. Mm-hmm.
And then if, you know, Vistage members are always really eager to kind of help facilitate.
Sure, because that seems to be their nature.
Right, exactly.
What you find is that a lot of times they'll look at their situation, and at a certain point, CEOs, they've had enough theory. They can go to Emory, they can go to UGA, they can go to the business schools, Georgia Tech, and get a lot of theory and get a lot of information, curriculum, if you will. They can hire a consultant, and consultants can help them with very point-to-point solutions. What happens is they come to that day where they go, I really just want real-world advice from people who have rolled up their sleeves and at 2 a.m. in the morning looked at the ceiling and worried about their payroll. I want to be around those people, and that's what Vistage is.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys each sharing kind of how you see Vistage and your roles in it. Larry, if somebody wanted to learn more, I guess, of Vistage in general, where would they go for that?
Well, obviously, we have a great website at vistage.com, and we'd hope they'd go research it there, and then they'll find their way to us somehow.
And Linda, for you, would they go to Vistage and then find you, or
they
can they go right
Vistage
to you?
They could go to Vistage and find me or ask me, or they could also come right to me.
And then yes. How would they find you?
Linda.Gabbard@VistageChair.com.
And Nat, what's your new adventure?
My consulting firm is Shareholder Solutions. And if they wanted to find me, I'm at ShareholderSolutionsOnline.com.
And then what's the, who do you serve with that?
Mainly businesses with revenues between 10 and 100 million that need a fractional CFO or advice on finance. And I also act as an expert witness in business litigation.
Mm-hmm. And they can find you at your Vistage if they can. I guess Linda's the chair for your group.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you all for being part of the show. Soini, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, where are the best coordinates for you?
www.anonaenterprises.com, where they can find me on LinkedIn.
And thank you so much for putting this group together.
It was my pleasure. Thank you very much for having us.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.